I was gone for a minute, but I'm back now. Hey, man, I am back, y'all. I'm back. I don't know how else to say it, man. I know it's been too long. I left you guys for about 3 months now, okay? Haven't put anything out, and I'm sorry, okay? A lot has happened in my life, okay? And maybe I'll discuss the absence, the hiatus, what has been going on for the last few months. And honestly, things have just been so crazy since moving to Texas, man. It's been a little over a year now that I've moved from Florida to Texas, so it's been a little bit harder to record podcasts and actually put some stuff out, but I'm gonna try to be more consistent. All I can do is try, all right? So you're gonna hear some crazy amazing things on this particular podcast episode. We will be talking about sexual purity, coronavirus stuff, man. Stuff to encourage you guys, stuff to challenge you guys, all right? So maybe you need a podcast right now to help you while you're, you know, stuck at the house, okay? Maybe you're more inside than you've ever been. Well, I hope that this could be something helpful for you as you are cleaning in your cleaning different things in your house, or while you're doing something else, and or maybe you're working out. While you're working out, maybe you can listen to this podcast, man. Hope this can be helpful for you, man. So thanks so much, guys, for listening, man, and enjoy this episode. Welcome to another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid Podcast. I am your humble, gracious, and highly favored host, Shelton Williams, here with a couple of my, you know, my best buds, okay? Right now, we have someone on the podcast who is not a stranger to the podcast, someone that's pretty much a regular, who's been on here quite a few times, okay? And it is my best man of my wedding, my best friend, Kaylin Williams. Say what's up to the people, bro.
What it do, people?
What's up? And today we also have someone on the podcast who is very brand new to this podcast scene, brand new to my podcast, but she is my bride, and that is the wonderful Jaquel, and her last name is Williams. All right, Jaquel Williams. Shout out. Say hello to the people.
All the claps. Jaquel,
say hello.
Hello.
Yes. What's up? This is her first time. Be nice to her, guys, okay? This is her first time. I'm sharing this platform with her today. All right.
Talk nice to my sister-in-law, right?
Yeah. Talk nice. All right. So, man, so first, before we get going, all the shenanigans that the Weird Pastor's Kid Podcast is all about, just talk to me, guys, man. Kayla, man, how you doing, bro?
Post coronavirus or pre coronavirus?
Well, I mean, we kind of still going through it.
True. You're right. So, in general, right now,
how are you doing right now, currently?
Right now, in this moment, I'm feeling good. It comes in waves, but I'm feeling good right at this moment.
Feeling good. Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. And baby Jaquel, just let me know, man. Tell me, how are you doing? How are you doing emotionally right this particular second?
I'm going crazy.
You're going crazy. Okay, speak to that. Speak to the craziness. Why are you going crazy right now?
You know, I just feel we've all been locked up for a long time. How's the song go? Locked up, won't let me out. That's how I feel.
Big fact.
I feel you, man. Corona has everyone going a little bit crazy. All right, and I think right now we're gonna go into a segment that I'm gonna talk about called Explain Your Life. Okay, we're going into a segment called Explain Your Life.
Okay,
and in this segment, we're gonna talk about how Corona has ruined our plans. Okay, so we're gonna talk about what are some ways Corona has changed and shaped, you know, what you're doing right now. So first off, because I know both of you guys so well, but the audience don't know you that well, they don't know the situation. Kaylin, I want you to talk about how you went to, because you're in a master's program, Indiana, you know, walk that through the audience, but explain to them how you was just trying to go on a simple spring break and how that spring break got extended. So kind of break that down for the people, you know, a little bit with, you know, about how your spring break wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Explain that for the people.
Yeah, so I am currently still on spring break. So, unfortunately, I came back to Florida because, like you mentioned, I am in Indiana for my graduate school. So came, you know, to visit the family, check in, regroup, kind of relax. Had plans, big plans to go to, you know, with my friends to Disney, check with some of my friends in undergrad, even maybe hit a couple beaches. And, you know, I left on a Friday. And 2-hour flight, I got here Friday evening. And, you know, the ticket was bought in advance. So I'm just heading to the airport. Coronavirus is still going on. Nothing, you know, no news of any stay-at-home orders or anything like that. So I get here. And by Saturday and Sunday, it was looking serious. Like, so I was like, let me talk to my professor. So I kind of called him and was like, if we do online classes, I don't need to be back in Indiana. And he was like, nah, stay home. So, because he even told me, like, to be honest, I don't think we're meeting anytime soon. So I kind of knew from the jump, my clothes that I packed weren't going to last me until then. So, yeah, I'm currently still on spring break. I only packed, like, 5 articles of clothing because I thought I was only going to be here for 5 days. So, yeah, it's been kind of a weird episode.
So your spring break got extended, right? A lot longer than you initially had planned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also right now, even you had like, you know, your school, like literally you were supposed to still be in, like you're supposed to be in Indiana right now, in
yep.
your apartment, doing yep. those particular things. You had to end your lease, right, in Indiana. All those things happened because of the Rona, right? Rona
yeah.
kind of changed everything.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, like you mentioned, it kind of was like me calling an audible and trying to replan my whole life because, like I mentioned, I didn't have clothes, I brought my laptop, but I didn't have my schoolwork. So even then, luckily, everything was online. Kind of convenient that, you know, Google does exist. So kind of got my way around through there. But yeah, it was like me trying to game plan for a whole new team that we were playing. You know, never been dealt with, I guess you say, this situation. So coming home, had to regroup, you know, talk to the parents and was like, why am I paying rent for an apartment that I'm not staying in? So I had to go and try to break my lease and grab all my things and come back down. And it was awkward because I left the apartment and I was like, I had no plans of leaving this apartment. And like, you know, everything was just weird because I'm leaving. The apartment's cleaned out, of course. I'm trying to get my deposit back. So I'm just sitting there like, wow, this is an end of a era. But, you know, it's not like it's weird. It's just it didn't feel right, you know. So, yeah.
Because Corona has ruined
yeah.
your plans, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
When you predicted your first year, you know, graduate school, you're predicting it. This was not in your plan, right?
Yeah, not at all. After spring break, that's like our break between 7 weeks in the classroom, and then we have spring break, and then 7 weeks back into our clinical site. So I was excited. I was going to be at a D1 school. They were hosting actually the women's regional basketball tournament for March Madness was going to be held at the school I was going to be at. So I was ready to get my hands dirty, get some experience in and kind of advance in my graduate profession and career. So, yeah, everything was kind of thrown out the window. And it was a little disheartening because you're just like out of your control. I think a lot of things out of your control makes it hurt a little bit more, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I was just like, wow, that opportunity was kind of stripped away from me. My adulthood, if that makes sense, because this is my first time moving out. Going so far to Indiana was kind of stripped away from me. I love my parents, you know, but it's just like I was on steps towards to being a real adult in some way. So I felt like this is a back, you know, like I'm repacking and coming home to live with the parents. So it was really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you. So now Corona, you know, it came in, stepped mm-hmm. through. Because, you know, remember, what was the classic thing is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right?
Yeah, facts.
So that's just, you know, we're in a situation where we had our plans written out. We had our goals written out. And then the Rona comes in and wipes all those away, right? Now, baby girl, Jaquel here, Could you explain to the people, all right, you know, how has Corona impacted you? What are some things that maybe, you know, you're going through right now, you're like, dang, like, man, I have, you know, maybe you didn't have a situation like Kaylin, but how has the Rona affected and impacted you?
Well, for starters, I was supposed to be living it up in Florida from April the 16th to April the 21st or 22nd, and that got ruined. Thank you, Corona. Honestly, that's like the main thing that it did.
Right.
And it's kind of disrupted my work life. My work life has been very up and down thanks to Corona. Mm-hmm. So that's all I got though.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
So, you know, Corona has impacted us, man, and our family. Like literally, I had a lot of different plans just here in this area. Like, there are certain things that, like, you know, I was starting to really hang out with my work friends. So my work friends and I, we were playing a lot of stuff. We were driving to like Arlington. We went to Arlington to go to a restaurant. We were like making plans for this year. Almost not every Monday, but it was almost every Monday night we had planned. We had like a movie that we're planning to go see and watch, and it were just different things we had planned to do. Like we already went bowling together. We were planning on going to an arcade center. Like we were planning things, and I was trying to like force myself to go out more, to go out with people more, to hang out with people. And I had a lot of plans this year to go out more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is I can't go out more, right? Like my natural tendency though is to stay, like I can stay home and be fine. Like I don't like, I know that some people are like, listen, they have to go out like for their mental health, like, or the more they stay inside, they get depressed or whatever. I ain't like that. Like I'm for real not like that, which is so crazy because I am like an extrovert. Like I do love being around people. I love hanging out with people. But honestly though, like this ain't really been too crazy for me, mentally or whatever. But I understand for some people that you know that could be right. But what I really want to kind of get with why I'm like talking about this is like people are listening. You probably have had Corona impact you in a maybe some more serious ways. Maybe some of you might be nurses or doctors. You're in the medical profession and your life have now been, you know, has been twisted upside down, right? Because of your job and everything, the hours of working that you're doing, the you're putting your life on the line, going out there and helping and servicing people that have been impacted by this virus, you know? And so, and maybe you're listening, your lives have had been, you know, affected more, you know, it's affected you a little bit more than just what we're talking about. But I'm saying all that to say this, what are some things that we can tell people in terms of encouragement that even though they may be stuck in the house right now, or maybe they, you know, that's, you know, the safest thing for them to do. What are some things that we can say to really encourage them? Because for some people, there's a lot of discouragement going on right now. So I'll just go back to it. So Kaylin, explain to me, what are some things you can say that can be some areas of encouragement?
Yeah, I think after, you know, it was kind of settled in that, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And like I mentioned, just the whole moving back in a little prior to that, it was kind of like, wow, this hurts. So I hit my wall because, I mean, I was making some pretty good strides. You know, I was working out daily with my friends and kind of being a mini adult in a sense and kind of, you know, had a little control over my life, like we mentioned. And I think the biggest thing was just realizing, I hate to be the person like my life's better, but realizing the blessing in disguise, like the fact that I could come back home to parents, the fact that I did have parents, like the simple things in life really helped me refocus, I guess you would say, you know, and knowing that this is only a season. It sounds like it feels like forever, but you know, this is only a season, a glimpse of what of your life, you know, like this is always going to go down in the history books, but just realizing like we are going to get through this. So just like
I guess looking forward to the future and not being stuck in this present, because it can be crappy, you know? But yeah, looking forward to the future and just trying to get back into a routine of things has been really encouraging for myself. And hopefully the other people as well, just knowing to, yes, this happened, but trying to, like I mentioned, just regroup. Kind of like Jaquel was mentioning how her whole work life was disrupted. Trying to get back to a normal in some way. If you have to wake up and set an alarm, like it's nice to sleep in, but just getting on the routine kind of really helps you feel like you're in control of something. At least that's for my personality. So I had to really like hone into like, okay, you can't leave. That's like a stay-at-home order is in effect. You can't do certain things. Some things aren't essential, but you're essential. And that's one thing I had to like, you're essential. Still like worry about yourself right now. And I think this season is a good time to reflect on your personalities, on your things that you realize that make you better. So even during spring break, I mentioned to my professor, now that I'm rambling, I wanted this spring break to be really like a season where even if it was for a week, just so I can like pour back into myself, because I would spend so many time pouring into others or to other things. So that spring break has really been like opportunity for me to read books, get more on the creative side, doing other things that kind of you neglected, I guess you'd say. So that has been one of the positives, I guess, in this situation of how I'm trying to organize and regroup. And it's kind of almost like I'm going to go to a basketball sense, but it's almost like a preseason, you know, getting ready for when the future is, because it's going to happen. We're all going to get there, you know. So just staying focused on the bigger picture and trying to find that light on the end of the tunnel.
It's good, bro. That's real good, man. That's really, really good.
That is good. I do not think that I can follow that up. I will just agree with everything that Kaylin said.
man. So I think that's true. Like, you got to get to a point where mentally you frame yourself in a certain way. But I also think, like, and you even said, like, there's some, so you had some, not only mentally, but you even mentioned some practical things, like reading a book, finding some ways in yourself, like, we've talked about it before about maybe this is a time for you to learn a skill,
right,
you know, that you know, during this particular time. Maybe this is the time you can sit back and say, man, you know, let me try to figure out a new language. Maybe right. It's time for me to jump into that. Or maybe this is time for me to just better myself in some aspect. Maybe this is a time for me to get closer with God, right? Yeah. I mean, this is the Weird Path Kid podcast. We do got to mention, you know, some spiritual stuff too, you know? So let's... Let's go ahead and maybe do some things that can really help us, right? I think I may have mentioned it somewhere. I can't remember where, but it's like look at this time as like a cocoon, right? Mm-hmm. We're the caterpillar in the cocoon, and hopefully after we built these skills and maybe we've done these things, at the end of this situation, stay at home order, we come out as a beautiful butterfly, right? So there's some metamorphosis that happens during this particular time, right? So it's just those particular things to try to build yourself in. I think that could be really helpful and really encouraging, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I also agree. I'm just saying, hopefully we come out as a beautiful butterfly and not as like an ugly moth or something.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hey, depends on the situation. But also, too, like for me, you know, I failed miserably today, but trying to get into like baking or doing different things, you know, cooking, maybe some of the times, you know, do some cooking and stuff. There's stuff you could be doing that get your mind off of the craziness that's going on right now. So let's talk about craziness going on. Let's talk about the dumbness in this world. Let's talk about Florida. All right. So and this is something I know I'm moving from Florida, coming to Texas. People, when I tell people I'm from Florida or, you know, grew up in Florida, they're like, oh, you from Florida. Because Florida just has a reputation of just doing the dumb stuff, right? Doing the crazy stuff, right? So, Kaylin, since you still, you know, your residency, your driver's license still says Florida, I need you to start caping for Florida. I need you to start, like, no, come to the front of the church, okay? I need you to come to the front of the church, okay? And I need you to testify and explain to us, you know, what the heck Florida be doing, because why Florida want to open up so much, open up the beaches so much. What's up with Floridians, right, not taking this virus seriously? You know what I'm saying? So can you just talk to, you know, talk to us, explain Florida to the listeners? Go ahead.
Oh, man. That is a very hard task to, I mean, that's a lot. I don't think all the jokes and all the sayings about Florida are correct. I mean, I know they come at us very hard, but I'm not going to defend Florida to an extent. There are some crazy people in every state, but the majority of them live in Florida. To go back from the beginning to when it was all going down, the beaches, I think that's what went viral in the video, people in Miami saying they already had plans for this. I just want to speak on behalf of the, you know, the people who were on spring break like myself. Those weren't Floridians, okay? Those were people who were up in the Midwest, maybe in, you know, in the North, who came down here, who made plans already to come to Miami, to Clearwater. So that I can't take. I really try to dodge that bullet. I think there was just other students, other colleges who already had plans to come down during spring break. So I'm going to say that. But
nah, bro, we ain't taking that. We ain't gonna take that, okay? Because what we feeling right now is there are people out there on the beaches right now. So you over here caping for Florida because at the beginning of this virus, you know, people who weren't from Florida came down to Florida and were all over the beaches, right? But I need you to explain the Floridians who are on the beach now, okay? Because there's some Floridians that couldn't. They ain't staying inside. They at the beach right now. Explain that.
We are still out here. But I just want to take that into effect. If I'm going to claim anything wrong, I'm going to claim that, you know, we are crazy. But us going to the beaches, that was mostly college students on spring break. But we are eager to go back. And I don't think we should. I think we still need to be aware of our social surrounding. So social distancing is still going to be in effect. There's no vaccine for this right now. Everybody loaded in back to certain places is not going to help us see the light at the end of the tunnel, like I mentioned earlier. So I don't know. I still think we have to be, like I was mentioning, we have to listen to medical personnel compared to our politicians. And that goes through Lakeland, that goes to Florida, that goes to federal. Like, it doesn't matter. You need to be listening to
Do Republicans don't believe in science?
You're telling me. I have no idea.
Alright, I'm just asking. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't think conservatives believe in science. But that's just me. I'm just playing, just kind of joking, not really. Anyway,
as a guest on this podcast, does that mean, I just want to let it be clear, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all of the viewpoints that are presented. I'm just a guest here, just throwing that out there.
Wow.
Not saying that
she's over here trying to be Sweden right now. Okay, guys, listen, she's just trying to be Sweden. She'd be like, oh, don't hate me. I don't want anybody to come after me.
I'm not just saying, don't say nothing. I don't publicly express my political opinions either way.
Right.
All right. Anyways, because she's trying to be Sweden.
No, I respect trying, that. If that's the battle, not the battle.
No,
but
no, we don't respect that around here. Okay, we respect people that take a stand and take the heat for their.
No, I don't want no smoke.
People that's trying to be. No. We need to change this podcast to all the smoke because I want all the smoke. So all you independent fundamental Baptists,
wow, you calling out?
Listen to this podcast. And then want to sit back and tell me you don't believe in science, okay? So, anyways.
Right. But I'm sure that some of you believe in science.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
So I don't want to put them in a bubble.
Also, and then also, we know that podcasting is jokes, okay? So if you take things to heart too much, then you one of them little snowflakes that you complain about, okay?
If my friends listen to this, I have no respect, not respect. I should say, yeah, I can say that. I have no respect for Florida's governor. He's a joke. There's some Lakeland commissioners that are a joke. And we all know that president is a joke. I don't mind saying that out loud. I have no problem saying that out loud. If you know me personally, we know this already. So for the ones who don't know me, My mentions are open. You will be blocked.
Oh.
You come with some craziness, though. I mentioned it before in the podcast. I don't care.
Yeah, don't let your president make you think you can say and talk to me any kind of way. Because I will block
you. You can talk to the abyss. Anyway. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not very active on social media, so you guys don't have to worry about offending me out there. Just saying.
All right. But I'm going to be real, be honest, okay? This is what I don't understand, and I think that this is the political game that I don't understand. This is what we got to figure out, right? Is, and this is, we're not going to spend too much time on this political stuff. Not at all. We're going to move on. But I just find it interesting that the conservatives and Republicans are like, we need to open up all the businesses, right? And then you have the liberals and Democrats are like, we need the social distance and we need to make sure that, you know, they're more for that than the other thing, than opening up too soon, right? They're a fear of opening up too soon, right? Now, why is that, like, such, like, you know, is there, and someone even posted this, like, I think on my Facebook, I saw someone talk about it. Why is that such a, is it because, like, because Democrats are social distancing, are pushing social distancing, Republicans want to be like, I'm against everything you guys are for? Or is it more of the fact that Republicans and conservatives care so much about the economy that sometimes they're like, grandma can just say bye, like bye to grandma. Like, could you just, you know, speak to that, Kaylin, a little bit? Or you ain't really sure?
I try not to say I have all the answers. That's a good, that's a great question. And this is my personal opinion. The mentions are open. We could talk, but you come with some crazy, I will block you. I think it comes down to, like you mentioned, like you just said, I think it's a Democrat versus Republican thing all the time, which is ridiculous. Me and you had off-air conversations before, but there's no middle ground. And because one person says one thing, you have to do the opposite because that's your political party and you cannot stand with. And it goes both ways. You know, I don't care what you say, but you fight it so, like, you fight them so much that even when they're like speaking sense, both ways, it doesn't matter who it is, it makes, like, you have to purposely be devil advocate. So, yeah, I think you're right on that part. I don't think it has to do with the economy in so much. I think it really just has to be with different parties. We can't agree upon anything, so.
The two-party system is a joke.
We can talk about that another day.
Yeah. So I just think that it's just interesting. I think that there needs to be some kind of middle ground. But who knows, man? Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe it is the better thing to open up right now. Because I've heard an argument, you know, an interesting argument that says, hey, how about we open up everything and just quarantine the people that are more susceptible to it, right? Yeah. I've heard that, you know, that's what some people say. Just quarantine the ones that have the health conditions, that are older. They quarantine, they stay there till there's a vaccine. They do, and us that most likely are going to, the healthier ones, the ones that are the most likely going to survive, we go out there and do our thing. I mean, it's just interesting, you know, topic. I think that every idea should be at the forefront. We should listen to people. I'm not trying to diminish anyone's idea. I just find it interesting how we're pro-life about some things, but not pro-life on all things. But anyways, we'll go on that another topic. Anyway, so needless to say, quarantining has been interesting. We've learned a few different things during this particular time. We've gone through a lot of different things here. But I want to talk about some church news, or I'm going to say church news, but just things that are going on in church culture, because it's a Weird Pastor Kid podcast. I want to talk about it. I want to discuss it. And I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in my life a little bit. So recently, I was on a Zoom event, conference, whatever you want to call it, whatever it was. I was on there. And we were talking about sexual abuse in churches. We just did this past Saturday. I was a part of it. We were discussing a lot of different things. And what I find very interesting is the morality in churches is very interesting, especially when it comes to the idea of sex. And so, Kaylin, I want to talk to you before we jump into really sexual abuse and stuff like that. Can we talk about, because me and you as pastors' kids, and Jaquel's grown up in the church whole life, so she can talk about this as well. But it's interesting to me how we could sit back and be preaching all day long about morality and sexual purity and everything like that. But it seems as if a lot of people I grew up with, a lot of people, we struggle with sexual morality. And it feels like the sexual morality that Christians deal with are even worse than people out there in the world. Like, for example, let me give you an example before I keep going. I know a lot more Christian guys that struggle with pornography than people that aren't saved, right? I know people who, and maybe it's just because of the proximity, we're closer to these people, but I know more people that are faithful to their spouses that aren't saved than are, right? Some of these people that I went to school with, some of these people were my teachers. I remember a teacher, right now. Let's just say, I ain't gonna say her name, but a teacher I grew up with, she was upset over how close the guys and the girls were at this Christian school. But fast forward a few years later, she was out, you know, she all on Facebook having, you know, a pretty out there relationship with someone that wasn't their husband or whatever, and they bragged about their sexual experiences with each other online. So what I find interesting is that, like, this morality, and I, you know, there's some people that were morality police to me growing up, but yet they couldn't live up to those same morals themselves. Like, and I'm not trying to bash anyone or whatever, because we're all fallen, we all need grace, we need all that, don't get me wrong, but I feel like maybe it's a proximity thing, but sexual morality in general is something that I don't think many Christians even live up to. So I don't want to keep going, but go, Kaylin, can you kind of speak on that a little bit?
Yeah. I think everything you said, I agree with. I think, and I don't know how to put this in a very, I want to articulate this well, but I'm just going to tell you what me and our sister had a conversation off air. We talked about how the dating to marriage kind of philosophy, especially in the Christian circles that at least that I'm familiar with, is kind of a very toxic trait. I don't think I'm not sure if other churches do, but the churches I've went to, they don't preach or teach relationships wisely. And like the, I guess you say the idea of like exploring, I guess you say, because it's like the least from a guy's perspective, I've heard this before. You meet that one, and they like to say that one, and mm-hmm. it's kind of like if they already write your life story kind of thing. I remember, and this is yeah, I don't care. I remember one time with a significant other, and it's like everybody's waiting on a ring, a proposal, and all these different things after you're just dating someone. Like, they're so ready to rush you down the aisle. And I think it has to stem off, like you said, the idea of sex is such, like, I don't know, put on a pedestal. So you don't do it the right way. And it's like, we're going to rush you down the aisle so nothing happens, but you still need to, like, I feel like marriage is the end all be all, but people don't realize there's other struggles out there. And I listen to a lot of other things, and it's like, you might struggle, like you said, with sexual sins, pornography, but marriage is not like the answer for that. And that's kind of sad to say. Like, we're more worried about the status, I guess, more than their heart and like them actually exemplifying Christ in a way that we're all God's children kind of thing. So I don't know how to articulate it well, but that's just my take from it. I just think it comes down to that philosophy of like date to marriage. Like, me and CC had that conversation. I'm just like, wow, I never thought about that. See, yeah, I think that's a very, like, I don't know, like, your mind. I hate to say it like that, but it's kind of like that's how you're teaching a guy. Like, it's one and done. It's weird. It's a weird thing.
I think you're hitting on a really good topic. Okay, so, all right, so this is how I'm going to try to summarize it, because we're going to get somewhere good with this. This is going to be a really good conversation. What, Jaquel, I know we've talked about the whole dating situation in churches, And we've talked about this idea of the one, right? Where they, you know, a lot of Christians, you know, believe that, hey, there is one person, right, that God has specifically designed for you. And have all this kind of dating mentality. I think I know, you know, why they've come up with this, but I won't go into the why so much right now with the question. But can you, like, explain a little bit? I know you're not much, you know, you ain't, you know, a huge talker on it, but what would you say to the idea of the one? What do you feel about it? What's your emotion about it? And just remind people she's married, all right? But
oh, yeah, I am married. But I don't believe in the one, like, there just being one person out there for you or whatever it is that they want you to think. I did used to believe that, though, because that's kind of what I was taught, like, when I was in youth group and everything. But then I kind of did everything the right way and dated someone and thought they were the one, and then they weren't the one. So that's when I was like, okay, I guess the one is not really a thing, because it didn't work. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I did everything in the way that they basically teach you to do stuff, and it still didn't work out. So I'm like, okay, what's going on with that? So yeah, I just don't think that there's just one person out there for you.
Yeah. And I think that, and I know I'm going to say some controversial things that when it comes to dating, I don't mean to, but this is what I'm saying is that, like, because of this idea of dating to marriage, dating for marriage or dating for this, when you are getting to know someone, you're already thinking about wife and kids or husband and kids and or whatever. When a lot of times when it comes to dating, you're still trying to figure yourself out. Like, you're trying to figure you out. Then you're also trying to figure out this other person out. And then you're still trying to figure out if you guys are a good match. And I think when it comes, like, when it comes to, like, dating, we have to remember there isn't any biblical mandate for dating. There's ideas you can pull, but there isn't anything, like, biblical about dating, you know, or in or courting, or have a kind of courting is dating. I don't care what, whatever name you want to put on it, right? There isn't any, like, biblical mandate for it. Like, you look at most of the things that people use for dating is you're going to an Eastern culture, right? So you're going to Eastern culture who did things that today we would call it misogynistic, sexist. Like, these are some of the terms you would use. Like, hey, I'm going to give your dad six goats for you. Like, we don't do that today.
I'm worth seven.
No, you're worth.
You know, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, or the idea of, like, oh man, bro, these names in the Bible escape me right now. Dang. But was it Jacob, right? Jacob who had to work 7 years for Rachel and find out, you know.
And then he got the wrong woman.
And then, but think about this for a second. The value of her was placed at you working for him for 7 years or whatever it was, right? And so, like, these type of terms today, we don't use that because it's almost as if the lady doesn't have any consent to it, right? There isn't any, did she even want to marry him, right? Did she even love him? Did she, like, those are the type of questions that weren't even asked back then.
And I think you hit it right there. And not to interrupt you, but, like, bingo, you just said it. Like,
no, go ahead.
Because, of course, like you just mentioned, in the Eastern culture, it was kind of like there was no consent. And you said the right word. I think now that we've tried to implement that into the Western culture, especially in the church circles, it's like that dating to marriage kind of puts, like, this is like there's no consent. I hate to say it, but it's like they always, and once again from my previous, like, example, it's like that's, you guys are paired off, but there's no consent on both parties, and now you're stuck. And you, if you have those eyes, I would say, and, like, I know where you're going with this, but if you have those eyes, you just see them as an end goal and not like, do they even care about this? And so it comes down to sexual allegations. Yeah. It comes down to all those different factors, because now you're not even, like, there's no consent involved. Now you just kind of prey on them in a way, thinking that, I mean, once again, praying, like, it starts with that if you want to talk about the marriage aspect, but now you're praying and sexual assaults and charges are brought upon you because you're treating women with no respect or dignity, and kind of like you said, in a very disrespectful, misogynistic role. So yeah, I think that's perfectly where it segues to.
Yeah, because if we, in this area of consent, because what ends up happening too, because we're going to talk about, I think dating to marriage thing has, you know, led itself to other, you know, areas. Like, I think that might be the starting thing is, okay, maybe we need to fix how we think about this mm-hmm. dating to marriage thing, right? That's number one, fix that. And then because we haven't fixed that, it's led itself to people being married to other people who they're not really exactly compatible, right? And it's like, wait a minute, why? And you get to a point where you're like, well, I did everything the right way. I went to church like they told me to. I did everything. This person's a good person. I'm a good person. But then you're inside a marriage covenant where your personalities are completely mm-hmm. different, right? Your personalities are different. You guys don't really see the world the same way. Like, everything's kind of like, whoa, maybe I should have been with someone else. Or maybe I should have did all this stuff. But we never took the time to really figure out ourselves. We never took the time to say, maybe we were just, some people, we date certain people to figure out something exactly about ourselves. Sometimes we're not dating that person with, oh, marriage in mind. Because some people don't like to talk about this, but sometimes some of the people that we dated really helped them for our next mm-hmm. relationship. Like, they aren't really, because it's like, dang, like, this person taught me this, this person taught me that. We weren't a compatible match, but that's cool. I dated someone else, and then I found out. So I, that's kind of, you know, before you jump into it, maybe you need to figure some of that stuff out about yourself and about what things you can be kind of compatible with. But to get back into the consent thing is, okay, we're not asking each other, right? Because there's like you mentioned, from the girl and the guy's perspective, it's both expected. Yeah. Y'all getting married. She's not even asking, like, oh, how you feel about this? He's not. He ain't asking that, you know? A lot of times, some of these guys, you know, they get to a point where, I ain't trying to be mean, but some of y'all guys, man, because y'all doing the right thing, and we, one of these days, we're going to talk about guys and virginity, because sexuality and men, especially guys who are trying to do the right thing and be virgins, whatever, whatever, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to talk about, because sometimes guys are thinking with one part of their brain and trying to add spiritualness yeah. to it. You horny, but you trying to hide the horniness with
yeah.
the Bible.
Trust me, you preach to the choir, dog. Like, yeah, like, I have no shame in saying this. Like, that's the truth. Like, you're in this stage and you're trying to live out that part of your life the right way, and it's just like, man, this is rough. This is getting a lot like, as you get progressed, you're like, this is getting a lot harder. I need help. And if you're not seeking out the right help, and if you just throw yourself into a relationship to fix that, or throw yourself, like you said, into the Bible scripture, and you're not actually, like, putting a band-aid over it, you need to get to the root of that problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because now you're undressing yeah. ladies with your eyes. Like, that's a problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you have to get to
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there's so many topics we could talk about that. And, yeah, just let me know when. I'll jump on it. I'll be an open book.
All right, so there's something that I really want to talk about is when it comes to the idea of sexual abuse mm-hmm. in churches. If you just went and clicked church and, you know, sexual abuse, ooh, church, sexual scary. Misconduct, the amount of things you would get in your Google search would be absolutely crazy. Because honestly, that's something that we mm-hmm. struggle with, right? As in our churches, we don't want to admit it. We don't want to talk about it. But there's a lot of sexual abuse in churches. And a lot of it comes from this idea of men. And the reason why I'm saying men is because most people that are abusing children or abusing people in the church, a lot of it mm-hmm. are men, right? A lot of it is the man abusing his power, a man abusing his, you know, the fact that he's older, a man abusing whatever to get what he wants. And what's crazy about that, this idea of consent, is this even goes into dating sometimes too, is like that we don't want to talk about. Is sometimes a guy will see a girl that he thinks is cute and immediately does not even care about her consent or what she thinks. He automatically thinks, oh, she's going to be my wife. This, and like I said, they mask their horniness with Bible verses or spirituality. You can ask so many women on Facebook, on Twitter, or whatever. Ask them and say, hey, how many of you guys have been DM'd by Christian men who may have said something stupid like, God told me
you're going to be my wife. Most common one. Yeah.
Bro, God didn't tell you nothing. Yo,
exactly.
You say, oh man, God, hey, God said you're going to be my wife. No. You were just horny. And you found a girl attractive. You follow her page, and maybe she's spiritual. Maybe she's X, Y, and Z. And maybe you fantasize about some kind of relationship with her. But God ain't never told you nothing. But we get to the point, and then here's the crazy part. Because we don't ask the lady for consent in our minds, right? When that girl rejects you, or the girl says she's not interested, men don't know how to handle that. You know, and so, and this is something I've always talked about. We've got to be better at teaching our women the power of saying no, and also teaching our men the power of accepting no.
Yeah, big fat.
Because what's happening is we got a lot of men, and this is where we bleed into the whole friend zone conversation. The reason why a lot of men are against this friend zone is because they don't want the woman to have the consent to tell them no. Just because, guys, if you're listening right now, just because you are a guy and you find a lady attractive, does not mean that she has to like you back.
Amen.
Yep.
It don't. Now, Kaylin, I don't know if you heard about this story, right? But there was a youth preacher, youth minister, however you want to say it, at this church. And he was racing, right? He was racing in this like thing up in Georgia. This was before there was social distancing. So there was like a racing and everything, was racing, whatever. And there was a reporter who was reporting on the race.
I heard,
And this race, and this guy who's running the race sees the reporter, and for some reason, he decides he's going to slap her on the butt while she is.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. So this lady is live on air talking about this race, and you can tell she was immediately like, she couldn't believe what happened, right? But what's going on is like, this lady, she didn't want to have anything about it. Like, we didn't know anything about the guy initially. But she went on her social media, she goes, no woman should have to go through this, right? While she's at work, being sexually assaulted, right? And what ends up happening is Twitter go quick. They found homeboy's number for the race, found his social media, found out he was a youth minister at a church.
Snap.
And so now it gets to the point of, this guy who's supposed to be a leader, leading young people, and this is not the type of guy I want leading, my future kids, because he does not understand consent. He doesn't understand what's appropriate, because there's probably a lot of guys listening goes, it's not a big deal. Not like he raped her. Not like he.
That's like
what?
Oh, okay, so go ahead. So speaking on that, and he, like, if a guy did ever say that, and it's not like he raped her, I would say wrong. Like, he did. If she did not ask for consent to get her butt slapped, groped, whatever you want to say, you can cut it however you want to, but no consent, that's rape. Like, I don't know how you want to define it, but C showed me something today on Twitter, and something similar, where this girl, I don't know the story behind it, but it was just a tweet,
This female tweeted and it was like, I went by his house at 2 a.m. and I got raped. And like, I don't know the whole context on it. Once again, don't know it. But people were in like, her comments were crazy because C was showing me and it was literally people like, well, you should have known better. Like, you coming over to his house at 2 a.m. And I'm just like,
dang.
How are y'all justifying anybody having any physical touch, sex, how you want to cut it at all without the second party? Like, that is just disgusting. Like, that is like, I don't know how you can.
No, we got to really talk about this too. Is like, and this, guys, I'm going to ask you a question. And, you know, and I know some of you guys are like, I'm a Christian. I would never do it. Okay. Nah, bro. Let's be real. Let's be honest. I'm just trying to figure out how is a guy still horny if the girl is not a willing participant?
Because they're nasty.
Exactly. Tell them, Jaquel. That's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's just...
Like, it's supposed to be a two-party, you know, situation.
But some guys also like that resistance. I mean, I'm not saying that that's all of them, but some guys do.
Yeah.
Or they like the power... play in it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called exactly. Rape. Okay. So
like that, going back to the past,
that's why these jokes
the past about the race. Like,
need to get
that, like that, like Mikhail just mentioned, I never thought about that's literally like that's a power, I would hate to say it, but like that's a power move, and I wouldn't even call it a power move. That's really another word I can say. But anyways, that's a weak move because you feel like you have liberty, I guess you would say, to do something like that and get away with it, because we have a culture where repercussions aren't corrected and met to kind of weed out those people and have to do something about it. So sad to say, that's the result. Hopefully punishment was on and not just like the cancel culture. Hopefully there was real punishment. I'm hoping the female went out and pressed charges. Like, I don't know how you go about it, but there has to be repercussions.
Oh,
she did.
Oh no, she did. I forgot. I didn't mention that, but she did. You know, she did press charges. He ended up getting arrested on a misdemeanor sexual battery charge. And so if convicted, the max sentence for that is 12 months behind bars and up to a $5,000 fine. I don't think he'll get anywhere near that at all. But at the same time, I think that we need to start holding these men accountable. And the reason why I even want to bring some of this stuff up is like, as a man, right? Kayla, I want to talk to you about this. I'm going to park the sexual abuse combo for another day. We're going to really talk about sexual abuse in the church another day. I stumbled onto a good combo. It's like, what do you say to your man, right? When you find out that your man is kind of low-key creep on the low to women. Like, you know what I'm wrong? Like, it's not our fault. Like, we're not the ones doing it. But what do you say to it when you find out that your man...
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I saw this conversation. Not conversation, but I saw that topic, I guess you'd say, or someone mentioned that similar, not to me at all, but I saw that and I was like, That's a food for thought. Hopefully, and yeah, I don't know how to say this. Hopefully, gosh, I can't even express how painful that would be if I didn't catch the signs. So like, you know, they always say hindsight is, you know, but I'm just saying, like, I hope that none of my circles, like, of guy friends are like that at all. So this is just me being very optimistic, but if you are out there, get help. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, if I knew now, if I'm talking to someone and I saw something they did, or they told me a story of something that happened like recently, that's a good one. I'm gonna have to chew on that, because I, in this moment, I'm thinking like, we're friends, how close are we? Because I might just go in on them. Like, I'm just like, that's a tough one.
Because, you know, the reason why I'm bringing some of this stuff up, I think CC even is bringing up a subject too, is I listened to You know, I don't care. Y'all can judge me if you want to, because that's what all Christians good for anyway. I listened to a podcast called the Joe Budden Podcast, and one of the guys on that particular podcast, he's helped start like this club scene up in New York, like this party scene, whatever. And you know, Jay-Z is actually one of the people that is one of the I don't know, so he produced, he has something to do with it, like, you know, CEO, but put capital into the business. So people are known that, you know, Jay-Z has put money into this party scene. Like, Duce Palooza is like a big thing up there in the New York area. But one guy that works with him, he found out that one of his good friends, they're in business together. They've known each other for years. They found out this homeboy is a creep, that he was low-key telling women, like, hey, you want a ticket to get into this club or get into this party? Well, if you sleep with me, I'll give you a ticket to get in. Yeah, like, and the thing is, he never knew that homeboy was doing all this. You know, and then he found out yesterday, like Monday, the timeline went crazy where women were coming forward, multiple women, hundreds of women coming forward saying, not hundreds, but a lot of women coming forward saying, hey, he's done stuff to me, or hey, you know, certain situation happened. He thought he was going to get sex. When the minute he found he wasn't going to have sex, this is what he did. Like, so just grimy things like that. Women like, yeah, he's just a grimy dude. So then you find out that a dude you've known for 5-10 years been doing stuff like this on the low.
No.
Are you still friends with them? Do you still try to get help with them? Or he's like, man, we got to cut out. Like, this is it. It's over. Like, what are we?
I'm going to let you what are we doing answer that. Here?
I know I'm the worst, okay? I'm stopping you right now in the middle of a conversation, but I definitely want to talk with you guys about certain ways that you can communicate to us and let us know your viewpoint, okay? So maybe you're listening to this particular podcast episode and you're like, man, I kind of want to discuss this with them. I really want to dive deeper into some of these topics that they discuss. Well, one thing I want to encourage you guys to do is join us on our Facebook page, okay? We have a Facebook group where I get a lot of the listeners in there. We discuss different topics. So many different viewpoints are on there. So many people with very opposing viewpoints, but we try our best to be cordial with it, okay? I try not to make any of the discussions there go too far, right? But I definitely want you guys to join us on our Facebook page. And also another way you can do it is go on the Anchor app and find the Weird Pastor Kid podcast if you're not already following it, and send a voice memo. All right, send us a little memo there. Let us know, you know, how do you feel about a particular episode? If you like it, if you love it, if you're like, man, I want to discuss this, you know, with you, Shelton, I would love to hear you and listen to your viewpoints. And I want this to be an amazing community for all people, whether you're Democrats, Republicans, libertarians, whatever you agree with, progressive, you're, you know, strong progressive person. I want everyone to feel welcome in this community, and we're all welcome to have our viewpoints just try to, you know, be cordial and be kind to everyone. I love you guys so much, and continue listening to this episode.
Yeah. So, man, I would have to cut, like, I guess, I don't know, because I think it has to be deeper than anything that I could help them with. So, not to cut them off, but it would be more of a, like, you need help kind of thing, because this ain't, like, some guy-to-guy chat. Like, this is some psychologist, some psychiatry, possibly. Like, I don't think there's anything that I can do for you. So I have to refer for someone else to, who's probably better equipped to help with someone who might have some kind of, like, control issues or narcissistic, like, not saying there's no hope for them, because this is a world where we like to just cancel people and give them no hope. I'm just saying, I think there's nothing you're out of my hands in a situation. Like, we're going to have a conversation. Hopefully you don't take it the wrong way, but you need help. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that, man. I think, you know, one is there's I'm back and forth a lot of times with stuff because I don't believe in cancel culture, right? I don't believe in just saying, hey, you make a mistake, so it's over for you, right? You make a mistake and I'm done. I don't think that's biblical even. I think God gives people grace a lot of times. But grace don't mean stupidity. So, like, for example, if I found out, you know, there was a guy who, for example, let's get super real, right? Let's say, you know, the guy on the news, that swimmer, who ends up raping a girl and she's drunk, she's passed out drunk, and he took that as an opportunity to rape a young lady, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say 10 years down the line, whatever, and, you know, someone, you know, finds out that he's dating a young lady. Now, I'm going to let that young lady know, hey, I just want to let you know, I don't know if he mentioned this to you, but when homeboy was, you know, 10 years ago, homeboy raped, you know, somebody. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I need to let you know that because, we don't know what this homeboy is still capable of, right? We don't know if he got the help he needed. We don't know. And also, too, when it comes to rape, man, because rape is serious to me. Like, rape is so serious because it's literally saying, it's literally like this idea of, I don't see you as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I am horny. I need basically, and I'm not trying to be mean or grotesque when I say this, but it's literally using a woman's body to jerk off on or jerk off with.
Mm-hmm.
Like she has become not a human at this moment. Her body is just being used for me to jerk off. You know?
Yeah.
And it's no humanity to it. There's no anything. There's no caring about her or caring about the lasting effects because what happens a lot of times is, I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be honest. If I find out one of my boys raped somebody, you know, we're number one, I'm going to hope that you get the help all you need and all that. That's cool and everything. But I do not think I can be friends with you. You might be an acquaintance with me now.
Mm-hmm.
I may hit you up every... I might never hit you up again. But when I see you, it's cool. Like, what up? You know, if I see you, whatever, on the street. But I don't want to ever be near you. Like, you're not going to ever be around my kids. You're not going to ever be around my wife. You're not going to ever be around me. Like, you're not going to be around me. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to give you the opportunity, stupid. Like,
yeah,
you
just, right.
You're not going to be around me. You know what I'm saying? So, but I feel like we need to, one of these days, we need to have a larger conversation. I want to have, actually, I might have my groomsmen, all of them, all of you guys on a podcast where we talk about holding men accountable. I think that'll be a good podcast for the future, bro. For real, for real.
I like that. That's a great idea. And now, just thinking, because you said groomsmen, there's literally, and this is my philosophy. I listen to a few podcasts as well, but you need men in your life. And I wouldn't say like you're not a rapist at birth. Like that's not my thing. But there's definitely some like I said, some psychological issues that we have to talk about. And if you don't get the correct help. Probably in the beginning stages, this is my two cents, it turned into some type of fetish and some type of, you know, I guess you'd say some kind of like seed that kind of blossoms into something else. So not having the right people in your life, and like you just mentioned, I think, you know, there's always like this joke of like, who is your life daddy? Like, who are the people beside you, you know, while you're walking through life golfing, who is your caddy? Like, and yeah, I think, not to say, you know, I think at the end of the day, men have to do better. Like, if you do have a friend or you have someone who you know that has those creeps, you have to call them out. And you got to, like, help them in a way that you know how to help them. Like, if it's telling them, hey, you need to go to do therapy or you need to tell someone, like, we have to be more accountable for each other, like you just mentioned. Yeah.
For real, man. And we got to be here for our ladies, man. We got to be here for them. And I think that's just so important. You know what I'm saying? I think that's extremely important. Now, before we head on out, because we're going to head on out, man, we're going to, Kayla, I will have you back on. We're going to talk about, you know, sexual abuse in the church. I think this is a good point to kind of end it here with accountability and everything. But yeah, but before we go, we're going to try to make it a little bit lighter here and everything like that, just a little bit. Kaylin, do you think that we will have an NBA season? Do you think the playoffs?
Oh goodness!
See the playoffs, you know. You know, I'm asking you because don't forget, guys. My brother, he's trying to be an athletic trainer. Like he's trying to do these things. Maybe one day we will see homeboy on the sideline helping a Kevin Durant or helping a Zion Williamson. Maybe he'll go to New Orleans and be like, hey, I'll be your athletic trainer, Zion. I'll do it for you. You know what I'm saying? We don't
speak it into existence.
You know what I'm saying? But do you see, Kaylin, an NBA, you know, this season? Are we canon this season? How you feel? You say no?
I know Jaquel's praying for us to not have an NBA season. prayer works. You know, there's a lot of people in the world who don't want an NBA season. I don't know why. The haters are strong. But I think realistically, from where we're at right now in society and to the, like, how can I put it, to like the health side of things, like even as a whole, like from an athlete's perspective, I don't see it happening. I think this one has to just get thrown away. I hate to say it, but this season's a wash. To be physically back into shape, it's going to take 2-3 weeks minimum. And Chris Paul, who's like the NBA president, I think, association or whatever, our player association, he's thinking that they need a month just to get back. And now that's, you're looking at, I mean, we're pushing May right now. So a whole month, if it started, I'm talking like the NBA said, we're coming back tomorrow. A month, you're looking at end of June. End of May, I mean. So, yeah, I just don't see it happening. NBA play is supposed to start already. So, me loving the NBA, but being more realistic sometimes, I don't see it happening.
Okay. So, this might be, I might be the guy that has the freezing cold take, right?
So oh, boy.
I'm going to say NBA playoffs start June 27th.
I mean, hey, I would love that. I just don't see it.
June 27th. Now, let me tell you some of the things I'm saying. Right now, they got a lot of these states that are opening up. Adam Silver has mentioned that in states that are opening up, NBA players can go to the facility. Okay. Mm-hmm. Starting May 1st. So, because that's the case, so starting May 1st, so, you know, boom, they're doing all this stuff. I think that, like you said, they're going to need at least a month. I'm cool with that. I think that by May 1st, everything's going to start opening up. By May 15th, the NBA is going to say, hey, we're going to come back. Everyone come back. We're going to try to start. But we're going to wherever you were at in the playoffs, wherever you were at there, we're going to say, boom, this is where we're at. We're going to end. No, there's no more regular season games. We're ending that. And then we're going to start the NBA playoffs. We'll give you guys a month. For the rest of the teams that are there, we'll give you guys a month, and we're going to start June 27th for the NBA playoffs.
I love it.
Could be a freezing cold take. I might be on that guy on Twitter that makes the freezing cold takes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think. All right, so we'll see. And remember, come back to this podcast. Remember, you've heard it here first, okay? So you heard it here
first. You said
first.
June 15th?
I think May 15th is when they're going to make an announcement that the playoffs will start June 27th.
Wow. And they're still doing 7-game series? Yeah. Like, there has to be some type of no.
Well, listen, I ain't that good, okay? I'm just telling you that the playoffs are going to I think it might be different. I think that they may have it to where maybe the first round is a 5-game series, right? Second round, like stuff like that. They may start doing stuff like that, but the amount of because what's going to happen, what you don't want to happen is you don't want the NBA to start competing with the NFL. It's just not going to work. Like,
right.
And NFL.
Yeah, because the NFL is better.
Okay, we're going to fight. But the NFL, I think NFL is just so traditional. Like, we're so traditional to watch NFL. I think most people are just casual NFL fans. Like, they don't know what's going on. They don't even really like the sport that much. It's just the fact of I'm watching it because after church on Sunday, that's what we do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's neither here nor there. They don't want to compete with that because an NFL preseason game sometimes generates more people watching than some NBA playoff games. So it's just what you want to kind of compete with. So I'm right. going to say I think that you're right. I think that it might be one of those situations to where, like, the first round's only 5 games or something like that. And then they don't start 7 games till the second or third round or something like that. So it'll be changed. And there most likely won't be any fans in attendance.
Wow. That's rough.
That's the new normal, bro. I don't – like I said, I don't see us having – what's it called? Concerts. That's it. Couldn't think of the word. I don't see us having concerts.
Oh, wow.
I don't see us having concerts till, beginning of 2021. Like,
I can agree. I can co-sign that. Yeah.
I just
The inside scoop in the health atmosphere, whoever's listening, this is just from my connects.
Could be a free vaccine. So go ahead.
Yeah. Vaccines aren't coming anytime soon. So the prediction of a 2021, like, gathering of that large of a size makes sense. And I'm not saying early either. I'm thinking this is, like, you're looking to, like, April, March, like a year from now. That's just my insider. I have an inside man, you know, or inside lady, to be honest. That's the rumor in the medical health profession that I know of. So, yeah, I can see that.
Sources, Kalen's sources.
Yeah, my sources. They're reliable. These are accredited sources, by the way. I don't know what y'all got going on.
All right, so you heard. Listen, man, it's a weird pass kid podcast. If you listen to this for accuracy, I don't know what the heck you're doing. This is entertainment. It's all it is. All
yeah,
right,
it's all exactly. It it's just a bit.
It's just a bit. All right. So, anyways, man, thank you guys so much for listening, man. This is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Let me rewind this. Let's make this better. Let's make this ending classic like it should be. All right. So if you listen to this podcast, you're like, man, these guys are weird. You're absolutely right. Listen to the podcast, like, man, those guys are absolutely pastor's kids. You are right as well. This is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thank you for listening. Peace. Dude.